Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Neivert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Neivert.
In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, we read, "And he that sat upon the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who sits upon the throne. And he's speaking in sovereign authority. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write this down, so it can't be changed. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It's done. I make all things new. It's done. They've been made new. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that's athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." What wonderful words spoken from the throne, the place of sovereign authority. He said, "Behold," this is something that should get our earnest attention. He said, "Write it down exactly as I said it." I'm so thankful for the Scriptures. We're not dependent on men and their fallible reasoning to know what the truth is regarding God. He's written it down in this book we call the Bible. The Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. He said, "Write this down. These words are true, and these words are faithful." They're true. This is the absolute truth, and these words are faithful. You can count on these words. He said, "Behold, I make all things new." I'd like to read a passage of Scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes. In verse 1, we read, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, See, this is new? It hath been already of old time which was before us." There's nothing new under the sun. Now, regarding the things that are going on under the sun, the affairs of men, there is nothing new. There's no new deal. There's no new ethic. There's nothing that's going to change things and make things better. Everybody's always wanting change, and I understand that because this world is a fallen place and it's a sinful place, and I understand the desire for change. There are things that ought to be changed. But still, there is nothing new because man is the same. No matter how excited we become over something that appears to be new, it will be seen to be something old, simply recirculated. There's nothing new under the sun. No new deal. No new ethic. I don't mean to be pessimistic, but I'm being realistic. It's what the Scripture says. There's nothing new under the sun. However, there is one who is over the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, "Behold, I make all things new." If I were given a new start, and a clean slate, and a new beginning, do you know how much good it would do me? Absolutely not a thing. It wouldn't do me any good at all, because I know this. Even if I was given a new start and a clean slate, I'd mess it up. I know I would, and you would too. And I've got a history. I've got a history that cannot be changed, a history of bad things, a history of sin, a history of, just many things, just like anybody else does. We have a bad history. So it would not do me any good to be given a new start because I'd mess it up, and it would not change my past. But the Lord says, behold, I make all things new. The Lord is able to give me a new history. Now remember, history can't be changed. History cannot be changed. If it happened, it happened. But the Lord, the one who speaks from the throne, who is God, says, behold, I make all things new. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, we read this statement. Paul tells the Ephesians, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now there's a new history, righteousness. And this is a creative act of God. Only God can do this. But he said, behold, I make all things new. Remember, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I've heard people quote that verse of Scripture, and they talk, well, I'm just different. I'm changed. All things have become new. Well, if you're a believer, you do have a new nature, but you still have the old nature. It hadn't changed. It hadn't gotten any better. I hate it when people use that passage of Scripture, and they're not honest. They talk about, well, I'm not like this anymore. I'm not like that anymore, when really it's not true. That's just religious talk. But the Lord says, behold, I make all things new. He gives us a new history for believers. I've got a history of perfect righteousness. If you would look at my past, it would be all good because I have a new history, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a new heart. I have a heart that was not there before, a heart that loves God, a heart that believes the gospel, a heart that rests in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't have that before. That's not the old heart being improved. He gave me a new heart. He said, a new heart also will I give you. Behold, I make all things new. My old standing before the law is gone. I've got a new standing without guilt. My old attempts at trying to keep the law is gone. I've kept the law. I don't try to keep the law because I've kept it in the Lord Jesus Christ. I really have kept it. I have a new will. My will is now, thy will be done. Not my will, but thine be done. We have a new relationship with God. Galatians 4:17 says, you're no longer a servant, but a son. A son of God. I have a new view of the world. I see it as a crucified thing, like Paul did. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. We have a new desire. If we're believers, remember he says, I create all things new. I have a new desire. You know what my desire is? Simply to be found in Christ. Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here's my great desire, is to be found in him so that all God sees when he sees me is Jesus Christ, because I'm in him. I have a new fear. I didn't used to fear God. Oh, I feared punishment, no doubt. I had a fear of what would happen to me if I didn't obey, but that's not the fear of God. The fear of God is the respect and reverence for God. It's a fear that makes you afraid of sin. It's a fear that makes you afraid to look anywhere but Christ alone. That's new. Didn't used to have that. I have a new knowledge. The new knowledge of Christ being all. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. We have a new song. The song of the 144,000. Rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's not, and his redemption, that's not a literal number. It represents all of God's elect. Every believer. We have a new commandment of love. He said, behold, I make all things new. Now, wouldn't you love to have a new history? A history without guilt. A history without sin. A history without mistakes. A new history. It's what the Bible calls justification. Having Christ's righteousness so that you have a new history. And when you stand before God in judgment, and the books are open, there'll be nothing there but that which is good, righteous, holy, and true. Whatever Christ did, that's what you did. What a history. And a new heart. You see, my old heart is no good. I can't change it. I tried. I need a new heart. He said, behold, I make all things new. And he can do it. He can do it. But nobody else can. Nobody can change history. But he can give a new history. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says this from the throne, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. Behold, I make all things new, and it is done. All things have in fact been made new." It is done. Now, the gospel is a declaration of what has already been done. Now, there's a hymn that I love. This is my Father's world. I love that hymn. The third verse says this: "This is my Father's world, and let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, the battle's not yet done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be won." Now, as much as I like that hymn, the hymn writer missed it there. The battle is done. It is done. You remember when God said, "Say ye, comfort ye my people, say to them, her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned." Now, the only thing that I can find any comfort for my soul in is this: that everything that God requires of me has already been done. It's already been accomplished. I am perfected in Christ Jesus. God said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He's the only one who can do that. He has creative power to actually make something new. He created the universe, the physical universe, and He can make all things new, give you a new history, a new heart. And then He says, "It is done." When our Lord said, "It is finished," from the cross, all things were done. All that God requires of me, I have. Now, the Lord said in John chapter 17, verse 4, "I finished the work that you gave me to do." I finished it. You see, God the Father gave him a work to do. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we read, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, that's the work he was given to do. Now, understand this. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come here to make men savable. He didn't come here to make it to where you could be saved if you do this. He didn't come here to make forgiveness possible or available. Now, that's the way he's presented by most preaching, and that's just totally wrong. Our Lord did not come to make men savable. He didn't come to offer salvation to men, or he's not up for man's acceptance or rejection. He came to save his people from their sins, and that's exactly what he did. When he said, "It is finished," every one of his people were saved from their sins. Now, who are his people? It says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Who are his people? They are those who believe. They are the elect of God. They are the ones the Father gave him before the world began. He said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is the will of him that sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." He said in John chapter 17, verse 9, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are thine." Now, regarding these people, those the Father gave him, and it's evidenced by faith. If you're somebody that the Father elected, you will believe the gospel. You will believe. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Acts 13:48. That's the Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." If I am one of God's elect, I will believe the gospel. And he says, "I make all things new." It's done. It is finished. I think it is so glorious how in the scripture, what is done is always spoken of in the past tense. I'd like to read a passage from Isaiah 53. And this was written some 700 years before the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, the writer, Isaiah says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs." Notice it doesn't say he will. It says he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, this was all said before it ever happened, and yet it's spoken of in the past tense, something that's already done. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. There's us. We have turned every man to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It is done. Let me read a passage from Romans chapter 8. This is the great chain of salvation that Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 8. Beginning in verse 28, Paul said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now we know that. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, know beforehand. Notice it didn't say what He foreknew, but whom He foreknew. He foreknows His people. Adam knew his wife, and they had a child. This is talking about an intimate relationship of love, this thing of foreknowledge, whom I loved beforehand. You remember that crowd the Lord said, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." But He says, regarding these people, and if you're somebody who needs this, let me stop for a moment and listen. There's no doubt that God elected who would be saved before time began, and Christ died for the elect and only the elect, but that does not prevent anyone's salvation. If you need mercy, if you need this new heart, if you need a new history, and you cry out for mercy and ask the Lord to give you this, He'll do it. He's never turned anyone away. Now, these glorious truths don't shut people out of the kingdom of heaven. They bring people into the kingdom of heaven. People who would have been damned if it wasn't for this glorious truth. I make all things new. It's done. It's finished. It's accomplished. Now, let's go on reading. He says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Notice all these things are spoken of in the past tense. Now, I haven't been glorified in my experience yet, but according to this passage of Scripture, I've already been glorified. Well, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Behold, I make all things new. It is done. It is done. Now, here is how it is done. He said, "I am," in verse 6, "I am the Alpha and Omega." Now, Alpha and Omega is the first and last letter in the Greek alphabet. It's the same thing of us saying A to Z. What that means is everything spells the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in this book is concerning Him. It's His gospel. Every Old Testament law is given to show us our need of Him. Every type, every sacrifice, every historical event, it's all given to teach us of Him. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That means He's the beginning and He's the end. He's the origin, He's the first cause of all things, and He's the end, He's the final result. And because of who He is, He can say, "I make all things new," and He can say, "It's done." Now, if I said, "Behold, I make all things new," I can't do that. If I said, "It is done," I would be telling a lie, because it hadn't been done. But when He says it, as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, oh, it's done. Now, let's go on reading. "And He said unto me, It's done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Now think about what has been said. He said, "I'll give." Now, He can do it. because of the glorious greatness of His person. Remember, He's speaking from the throne in sovereign authority, the God-man. He says, I will give. Now, who does He give to? Now, notice it doesn't say, I will give to the elect. It doesn't say, I will give to those who believe. It doesn't say, I will give to those who love me. It doesn't say, I will give to those who know they've been born again. Now, those are good things. I'm not saying anything wrong. I want to know I'm chosen of God. I want to know Christ died for me. I want to know I have a new nature. I want to know I believe. But the Lord does not say, I will give to him that is any of those descriptions. He says, I'll give to him that is athirst. Now, thirstiness is a conscious absence of what you need. You know you don't have it. The person he says he's going to give to is the person who does not have something in and of themselves. When I'm thirsty, I can't produce anything in me to quench my thirst. It's got to be brought to me from outside myself. Now, when he's talking about thirsting, he's talking about thirsting for righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord said. They shall be filled. He says, behold, I will give to him that is athirst. And I am athirst because I know I don't have righteousness in myself, and I know I need righteousness, and I can't be satisfied without this perfect righteousness. I hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Remember, being thirsty is being conscious of not having. It's not what you have, it's what you do not have. And this person who thirsts after Christ realizes it's something that he doesn't have, yet the Lord promises, behold, I will give to him that's athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. Now, that means without a cause. He doesn't have to have a reason in you. He doesn't give you because you ask for it, although you will. He doesn't give you his grace because you do anything. He does so freely. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Now, I have to have the gospel for free. If it's not free, I'm not going to have it. Now, there's two reasons why I must have a free gospel. Number one, is because I don't have anything to pay. And if it even takes one penny's worth of merit, I won't have anything. The gospel also must be free because of the infinite value of it. Could you put a price on the death of Christ? Could you put a price? Well, of course you can't. There's infinite value. And to put it, for me to pay something would be an insult to God. Do you think I could pay something for what Christ did for me? Absolutely not. But he said, behold, I'll give to that one that's athirst freely, without a cause in them. Now listen to me, thirsty one. Do you thirst for a new history, a history without guilt? He says, behold, I make all things new. Do you thirst for a new heart, a heart that you can't produce, a heart that you can't come up with? Your heart's no good, and you need a new heart, a heart that believes, a heart that loves, a heart that repents. Do you thirst for a new heart? And do you thirst for something that's finished? My, the only thing that gives me comfort is the absolute finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If anything has been left undone, I have no comfort at all. I need something that's been absolutely finished. I thirst for that. Well, he said, behold, the one who is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, he says, I will give unto him. That's a thirst. I will give. If you're thirsty, he's going to give this to you. He's going to give you justification, a perfect standing before God's holy law. He's going to give you a new heart. Actually, if you're thirsting, he's already given you the new heart. You might not have known it yet, but he's already given it to you. The reason you're thirsting after him is because he's given you this new heart. And he's given you a completed, finished salvation. It is done. Not it will be done. It's not potential. It's not an offer. It's a completed salvation It is done. There's nothing for me to do. Now, that's the only kind of salvation that will do me any good at all, is a perfect, complete, and finished salvation. And this is what the believer enjoys. Everything God requires of me, now and for eternity, I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He finished the work. I hate it that it's this way, but most preaching presents an unfinished work. You need to finish it. God's done all He can do, and now it's up to you to complete what He did. He's died for your sins. Christ has died for your sins, but you might end up in hell anyway if you don't do what you need to do in order to make what He did work for you. Now, there is not a drop of gospel in that message. There's no truth in it. If that's what you believe, you haven't yet believed the gospel. Those who trust Christ trust Him and His finished work. There's a phrase in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, faith in His blood. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Now, I have faith in His blood. His blood represents His life, His death, His resurrection. He finished the work of salvation. And that's what we're resting in, and that's what I thirst for. The Lord is so gracious. If you thirst for what I'm talking about, He'll give it to you absolutely freely. May God give you the grace. May God give me the grace to ask. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Now, we have this message on CD and DVD. If you email the church, call or write, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver, praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
Choose Thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.